following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for the 488th episode of the Parting Shots Podcast. And it's a Wednesday. That means we're talking with Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Halgy. Josh, welcome back. And how are things going?
Yeah, things are good. Boys finished up finals, so we're just hockey right now.
That's got to be relaxing. Finally, no more academics to worry about for the next five, 6 weeks.
And
it's all hockey.
Yes.
So, let's look back at last weekend's games against a pair of Hockey East teams, UMass Lowell and New Hampshire. And it proved to be a statement-making weekend for the Gardner Chargers as they rolled to routes in both games. Union beat UMass Lowell 7-1 and then down New Hampshire 6-0, scoring four of those goals against former Union goalie Kyle Chauvet. The wins caught the attention of the voters in the USCHO.com and USA Hockey polls, as after 4 weeks of being in the other teams receiving votes category, Union is ranked 20th in both polls. We'll talk about the polls later, but let's get your general thoughts on the weekend.
You know, I thought our special teams were really, kind of going in different directions as far as just, like, obviously the penalty kill was really positive. I thought it was very strong, you know, a couple shorthanded goals. I thought at times our power play was a little bit sporadic, but found ways to finish. And then I thought we were, you know, pretty solid 5-on-5 and got really good goaltending.
Yep. Well, let's start with the UMass Lowell game. 75 seconds into the contest, Union has to kill a penalty after Brandon Burr was called for slashing. But instead of being a detriment to the Gardner Chargers, it really ignited things for the team. Lucas Buzziol gets the puck along the left wing boards, beats a UMass Lowell defender, and has a breakaway on goalie Austin Elliott and beats him 5-hole for a shorthanded goal 43 seconds after Burr's penalty. I mean, how big was it to get the jump on the Riverhawks with the shorty?
Yeah, you know, it could have went the other way if they get one on the power play, but, you know, the guys do a good job killing it off, and Lucas, you know, gets that opportunity and makes no mistake about it.
Well, while Burr's in the penalty box, UMass Lowell's Luke Shipley is called for slashing at 2:06, and after Burr's penalty expires, the Riverhawks' Cole Lonsdale is called for interference at 3:17. That gives Union a 43-second advantage of a two-man advantage, and this early in the game, I mean, how important is it for Union to take advantage of this?
For us, we always talk about 5-on-3s is, you know, you have an opportunity to really, you know, grab momentum. You know, you've already gotten a couple, you know, earned a couple power plays, and now you have a chance to really make a statement, and I thought that's what the power play did.
And the Gardner Chargers do indeed take advantage of it. Burr scores on a 5-on-3 at 3:44, and 28 seconds later, Burr sets up Alex Lorenz's 5-on-4 goal. Union is up 3-0 less than 5 minutes into the game. I mean, how happy were you that the team came through like that?
Yeah, extremely happy. I mean, it's what you have to do. I mean, you get those power plays, and, you know, instead of letting them back in the game, they, you know, we really just pulled away, and I thought they, you know, from that point on, we were able to just lean on them.
Yeah. Well, Union was not done scoring in the first period. Parker Lindauer adds an even strength goal late in the period, so it's 4-0 after one. I imagine it was a very happy locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody was excited about it, but, you know, you're just trying to keep everybody focused, and you know, you know, at that point, there's still a lot of hockey to be played, and we can't be too overconfident because UMass Lowell is a good hockey team.
What was the message there with the 4-goal lead as you prepare for the second period?
You know, just winning your next shift. For us, that's, you know, the mentality we want to have is we want to be relentless and we want to stay in the game and stay in the moment, and I thought the guys did a nice job of that.
And they certainly did at 4:37 of the second period. Is Colby MacArthur with a nice tip of a DJ Hart left point shot past Elliott, making it 5-0, and that ended Elliott's night. Samuel Richard replaced him. I wasn't ready to declare on social media that the route was on, but sure felt like it.
Again, a lot of positives, and I thought, you know, the play DJ made there, he looked looked to his partner, which kind of opened everything up, and, you know, kind of sold that he was going to go D to D, and then made a nice play to the net and a good tip, and you know, a real nice goal.
Of course, it wasn't a perfect period, Josh, because for the first time this season, Union was outshot in a period. Lowell had an 11-10 shots on goal advantage, but Union had the advantage where it counts on the scoreboard. 1-0 second period, obviously, you'll take that trade anytime, right?
Yeah, I thought our game was pretty clean in the second, and you know, you play good hockey teams, they're going to get shots on net, and that's, you know, that's what we have good goaltending for.
And then Union wasn't done scoring yet. Nate Hanley in the third period, 8:57, and Connor Smith at 1:35 later, make it 7-0. Now, I thought this was a really weird after Connor's goal. For some reason, old coach Norm Bazin takes his timeout. You wait until the seventh goal to use your timeout? I mean, Bazin would have better served calling that timeout after Lorenz's goal. I mean, did it surprise you that he took the timeout when he did?
I thought it was just the game was getting kind of chippy. I don't know if he was just trying to calm his guys down or make sure that, you know, they don't quit and, you know, try to finish. I'm not 100% sure why he called it, but he's been doing this for a long time, so I'm not going to question him.
Well, I guess shortly after that, maybe because I was like raising some about that at the press box, the puck came up into the press box where I said, yeah, fortunately it sailed over my head and hit the back wall and rolled to my computer bag. You guys actually saw that happen and saw me on the video screen.
Yeah, it was there for everyone. So yeah.
You guys had a good laugh. Well, the only drama left in was to see if goalie Cameron Corpy would get his third shutout of the season, and he was close, but then with Union on a late power play, Lorenzo was tripped by Dalen Wakely at the Union blue line. Neither referee, Charles Hannafin, when did Charles go from Charles from C-Day to Charles? I don't know. And Michael Zyla raised their arms to call a penalty. Wakely got the puck and slid a backhander underneath Corpy with 1:25 left, ruining the shutout. How frustrating was that?
I was disappointed in, you know, in that happened. I did think Alex was tripped, but they don't make the call. And then you would like to see Cameron get the shutout, but, you know, gave him some motivation maybe for the next day.
Did you ever get an apology or at least an explanation from the referees?
No, and I didn't honestly even question it. It was at that point I was, you know, was kind of on to the next game here and let's get ready for UNH.
Well, the positive out of that was freshman Brendan Holohan replaced Corpy and got to play the final 36 seconds of the game. I mean, how good was it for him to get some time?
Just, you know, for him.
And sorry about that banging on this microphone here.
Just for him to be able to get in and, you know, see what it's like and, you know, just kind of get his feet wet to college hockey. He was really happy for him. And he works extremely hard. He's the first guy, you know, on the ice and, like, the last leave. He'll take shots at any time and happy for him to get, you know, into some action.
Well, let's hear from Union 4's Lucas Buzziel, Brandon Burr, and Colby MacArthur, and goalie Cameron Corpy.
I mean, it was going to get the first goal. I mean, our game plan was have a good start. You know, we want to make a big statement here with this weekend. And obviously, we did that with the first win tonight. But, you know, the job's not done. We need to win another one tomorrow.
What did you steal that one?
I knew he was coming on my back, so I kind of just tried to pull it to the middle. And then got the goalie moving, put a 5-hole. So, you know, it was nice to win it.
So Brandon, then you guys get the power play going there. Talk about how that went.
I don't really remember how the first goal happened. Like, I think Lindy passed to me the bottom, and it's 5-on-3, so it's a lot of space, so I just shot that. Second one, Matt found me, just kind of alone. And I know Lorenzo's always back there, so I just kind of got lucky.
How good was it to be able to score those, you know, first three goals, the special teams goal, you get the 5-on-3, then get the 5-on-4. I mean, did that really set the tone for this game?
Yeah, like, special teams, they're known to win games, and if you can get the 3-0 lead off them right away, it's a good spot to be in.
What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, obviously important to get out to a good start. Special teams got us to a good start today, so it was good.
How important was it to keep your foot on the gas and not let them? You're up 4-0 after one, you get up early 5-0 in the second, it's 5-0 after two. So how important was it to, you know, make sure you didn't let them come back?
Yeah, Coach Allergy always says 5-minute segments, so we don't look past the 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes of every period. So yeah, we'll play our game a little up.
Cameron, for you, a bounce back game, how'd you feel?
Really good. Guys made it easy on me. I saw pretty much every puck, so did a good job.
It seemed like you were just sharper. And I wouldn't say you were out of focus last week. You seemed really dialed in today. How was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still really good. It's kind of hit that flow state, and obviously the guys boxed out, and I saw every shot from the point, so really easy.
How upsetting was it to lose a shutout the way you did on a penalty that was missed?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Obviously, missed penalty, but can't do anything about it. Just glad we got the win.
How would you say, like,
How he played?
Yeah.
I thought he played really good. I mean, like you said, it sucks he lost the shutout, but I mean, he made some big-time saves when he needed him to, and, you know, we're probably going to need him again tomorrow big time, to make some big-time saves.
Yeah, just the way you guys want to beat this, how good does it feel to be able to have a route like this?
That's obviously good, but it's over now. Now we got to look forward to UNH tomorrow.
It's a big one.
Short-lived.
Well, teammate tomorrow, so I'm not sure that. Now you can talk about a little bit how much excitement will be there tomorrow.
Well, I'm excited to see him again. It's been a while, but yeah, just to play him too will be fun. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, it was always a lot of fun shooting on in practice, a lot of battles with him, so it should be fun tomorrow.
Do you think you guys have battles with maybe weaknesses for all the shooting?
He could have our number, we could have his, so you never know, but it'll be fun.
What do you think is going to be like tomorrow facing Sean?
It'll be a good test for us, and obviously at the end of the day, I just got to be better than him, and hopefully we can get the job done and get a win.
Second straight game of 3 points, you feel like you're in a group?
I mean, yeah. I mean, my linemates help me a lot, so it makes it pretty easy on playing this guy and Lindauer. So,
a game like this, offensively, what's going right for you guys when you're clicking like this?
Pucks find their way in. I think just working hard, it's like getting on that puck every time, just doing the simple things, and like it's starting to pay off now. You can see that in the score sheet.
Yeah, you're averaging like 40 shots a game or something like that. It's. I guess is there something that you guys have seen this year that's allowed you to kind of take that step offensively?
I'm not sure about anything different, but I think just a lot of confident players who know they can score when they shoot, so we're just confident shooting that puck.
And then Cameron obviously transfer in, and you played split time in Michigan last year, right? So what's it been like being more of a clear number one?
It's been good, obviously. We have three really good goalies, so I mean it's never guaranteed that I'm gonna get the start. Like every week we're battling against each other, and I think we have a great relationship, so it's good.
And you feel good about how you played so far in the workload?
Yeah, it's been a little up and down, but I hope to be more consistent and just get more wins.
I guess the only negative out of this game for the first time this season, you've been outshot in the period, second period. Does that mean
win sprints
tomorrow?
21st game? Probably. That's
unacceptable.
Maybe.
I expect guys to be
facetious
about that stuff.
Let's move on to Saturday's matchup against New Hampshire. Of course, the big story was the return of former Union goalie Kyle Chauvet to Schenectady. He was coming off a 22-save performance at Friday's 6-3 win at RPI, and he was the only UNH goalie to see action this season. So what was the mood like Saturday as it got closer to facing Kyle?
It was one of those things that, you know, we're trying to approach it, you know, just as another hockey game. He's someone that's, been in our locker room before. And, I feel like we had good knowledge about him. But at the same point, he has the ability to steal a hockey game. So we wanted to make sure we were ready.
Well, Chauvet is from Goffstown, New Hampshire, but it was another New Hampshire native that set the tone for the Garnet Chargers. Sophomore forward Ben Muethersbaugh, who is from Gifford, New Hampshire, scored twice in the opening period to give Union a 2-0 lead, and both goals were his patented one-timers. The first one, a power play tally less than 6 minutes into the game. Muethersbaugh was at the top of the right circle when he sent a pass. When he got a pass from Tyler Dunbar and sent it past Kyle Chauvet. The second one with 1:58 left in the first was an even strength goal, and Muethersbaugh was in the right circle when he took Cal Mell's pass and fired it off the post and into the net. How good was it to see Ben get those goals on shots you are familiar with?
Well, he's been doing a lot of good things for us, and I know, you know, early in the season he had a lot of shots and hadn't finished, so for him to be able to get that, I thought it was, really important for the team and just for him to feel a little bit better, because he has done a lot of good things but just hasn't been rewarded with goals.
Having practiced with Kyle last season, do you think Ben knew some weaknesses with Kyle in stopping the one-timer?
Well, I think Ben can blow a puck past any goal. He just has that kind of ability. When he lets it go, it's pretty impressive. I mean, that second one, like I don't know who could have said it. I mean, it was a perfect shot.
It was a loud ping off the post. And is there any rumor that the post suffered an upper body injury on that shot? So, the second period was the Brandon Burr show, as he scored a natural hat trick with two power play goals and a penalty shot goal. The two power play goals came during a five-minute major to Cam McDonald for hitting from behind at 2:58, a penalty that was upgraded from a two-minute major after a video review. Now, on Burr's first power play goal, it was a near disaster for Union, Josh. A turnover led to a 2-0 shorthanded break for UNH. Felix Gagnon had the puck on the right side. His shot sailed wide of the net, and Union headed up the ice, and Burr scored at 3:51. That was a big two-goal swing for Union instead of it being a 2-1 game. It was 3-0. I mean, how big was that to, you know, it could have been a near disaster.
We got to clean that stuff up. I mean, we can't be allowing breakaways on the power play. And, you know, that's been a focal point for us is to make sure we take care of the puck. It was a break for us. I mean, we got lucky on the fact that they didn't finish. And then, Brandon comes back. And when he has space, he can make plays.
Less than 4 minutes later, Chauvet makes a stop on a Burr shot. And then Burr got the rebound along the goal line to Chauvet's left. Burr in a post-game press conference said he was looking to pass the puck to Parker Lindauer in front, but the puck apparently hit Chauvet and Karen Mind in the net for a 4-0 lead. Sometimes it's good to be lucky.
Yes, it is. And, you throw pucks at net, anything can happen.
Well, unfortunately, that goal ended Chauvet's night. He allowed 4 goals on 16 shots. He was replaced by Jarrett Whale. Even though you're happy with you have a 4-0 lead, did you feel bad for how Kyle's night ended? Because the last thing he wanted to have happen in his homecoming was to get pulled.
I mean, for us, it was, kind of about our process and making sure we were playing well. Don't wish ill upon, Kyle at all. And, but we were gonna throw pucks on the net no matter who was in net. And, we have to do our job just like he has to do his.
Yeah. While Union is on another power play late in the second, there's a scramble at the UNH net. The whistle blows and the refs decide to go to a video review to see if there was a violation with regards to the puck in the goal crease. And it turned out that UNH defenseman Alex Carr covered the puck with his glove, and that resulted in a penalty shot. Burr was selected to take it. What led to that decision?
Brandon made that decision. He didn't even come near the bench. He was just standing out at center ice waiting for it. So when we got awarded it, it was a pretty easy the ref came over and he's like, he's taking it. And I was like, yeah, he's taking it. So that was Brandon's choice.
Well, Burr picks up the puck at center ice, makes a deke that Whale falls for, and Burr deposits the puck into the net to make it 5-0. It's Burr's third career hat trick. What a way to complete a hat trick.
Yeah, that was exciting and, a good way to finish off the natural hat trick.
When the third period, Parker Lindauer scored Union's second shorthanded goal of the weekend. And for the second straight game, all the drama that was left was to see if Cameron Corpy could get his third shutout of the season. This time he did. He finished with 24 saves. So, I mean, how good did you feel for him?
Yeah, especially after the night before, him not getting that opportunity and, wasn't able to we weren't able to finish that for him. And, kudos to the penalty kill. It started the weekend off for us, and it also finished it with, to bookend the weekend on with shorthanded goals.
On Monday, Corpy was named ECAC Hockey Goalie of the Week for the second time this season. Here are his numbers. He's tied with Northeastern's Lawton Zacher, former Brown goalie, for the national lead in shutouts with 3. Corpy's 1.60 goals against average ranks 10th in the country, and his .927 save percentage is tied for 17th with Minnesota State's Alex Tracy. I think Cameron is showing that he is a top-notch goalie.
Yeah, we're lucky to have really good goaltending, and we have 3 really good ones, and Cameron has been outstanding every time he's played for us this year.
Well, let's hear from forwards Ben Muethersbaugh and Brandon Burr and goalie Cameron Corpy.
Ben, let me start with you. You're a New Hampshire native. Hold on a second, sorry. Ben, let me start with you. You're a New Hampshire native. Did you have any extra motivation tonight against the Wildcats?
It's just another game. We just wanted to start putting games together and, winning on Friday and Saturday. So it was just all around a good team performance after last night.
Were you ever recruited by them?
Years ago.
Did you grow up as a fan watching them when you grew up?
I grew up watching them, yeah.
How much fun was it to watch them play at Whittemore Center?
Yeah, it's a good atmosphere. It's a good little campus there, and
Two patented one-timers for you. When you practiced with Kyle last year, did you have a sense he couldn't stop those in practice?
I don't know. I mean, every goalie's different, and we're trying to throw a lot of pucks at him early on, and thankfully we got a couple of bounces early and kind of ran with it.
How big was that start there in the first period to get those 2?
Yeah, it was big. Obviously, after last night and just building off that, coming out strong, that was big for our team.
ran it for you, natural hat trick in the second period. Two power play goals. The first one was really a two-goal swing. They missed on a 2-0 breakaway. And to come back down and get that, how big was that?
Yeah, it was pretty big. Obviously, it could have been a one-goal game. Thankfully, missed the net, and I was maybe a little bit lazy on that back check, so I got a little chance.
What about the second one? Was that you, I saw you got your own rebound. Did you bank it off the
car? Yeah, so I saw Lindy back door, so I was trying to pass through his five-hole, but he put his pad down and went in, so I was like, oh.
In a way, do you feel bad for him getting pulled there after that second goal?
I mean, yeah, of course. Like, there's tough bounces. Not much you can do. Like, obviously, I like the guy a lot, so I don't want to see that from him, but...
To complete your hat trick with a shorthanded goal, I'm not with the penalty shot, excuse me. What did you see on that play and against Well, their goaltender? And how good did it feel to do a natural hat trick?
Obviously, it felt great. And do you mean like when he covered it or
no,
on the actual?
No, no, when you were going in on the penalty shot, what were you thinking?
I kind of had an idea, just deke, and he bit, so I was able to slide it in.
And Cameron, for you? After getting robbed of the shutout last night, you get it tonight. Hey, how good did that feel?
Yeah, felt good. I'm just glad we got the win.
And the big weekend, obviously, you guys, you know, took care of these two hockey schools. Well, last night, New Hampshire tonight, 13-1 the combined score. Is this what this team could do every weekend, just like this?
Yeah, I think we all know it. We have a really good group, and it's just, you know, putting the piece together and guys getting hot at the right time. So,
Brandon, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So better, like, it's a great feeling. I think this is this shows what we can do, and I hope to put the league on notice a little bit.
And then do it during exam week. What does that mean?
I don't know. It means pretty good stuff, I think. I mean, resilience. I don't know. Hopefully, the exams are as good as our games.
Well, let's take a break. We'll talk about Union making the national polls and preview this weekend's ECAC hockey matchups at Cornell and Colgate. You're listening to the Parting Shots podcast.
It's the most historic conference in college hockey. It's a battle night in and night out. ECAC hockey, an iconic conference home to 12 of the most prestigious universities and programs in the world, and showcasing the best student athletes in the sport. Top-notch facilities and arenas, incomparable traditions, passionate fans, alumni who go on to become elite professionals, leaders, and champions. ECAC hockey, there's no experience like it.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition, app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union men's head hockey coach Josh Halji. After 4 weeks of being listed under the other teams receiving votes category in the USCHO and USA Hockey polls, Union cracked the top 20 on Monday. Union is ranked 20th in both polls. The Garnet Chargers received 136 points in the USCHO poll and 76 points in the USA Hockey poll. I mean, as far as the USCHO poll is concerned, it's the first time Union has been ranked in that poll since February 18th, 2019. And then the USA poll, it was November 5th of last season that Union was last ranked in that poll. How does it feel to be ranked 20th in the country right now?
I think it shows that we've, you know, taken some strides. But, you know, at the end of the day, if this is the highlight of our season, you know, that's not what we're about. You know, it's kind of about continuing to build and continuing to take steps and you know, be playing our best hockey at the end of the year.
Well, you'll be facing another ranked team on Friday when Union visits Lina Rink to take on Cornell, which is ranked 19th in the USCHO poll and 17th in the USA Hockey poll. Cornell is under new leadership. Longtime head coach Mike Schaefer retired at the end of the last season. Your former boss at Clarkson, Casey Jones, is the head coach now. He spent last season as Cornell's associate head coach slash head coach in waiting. Do you think there will be a change in philosophy with Casey in charge?
I think that, yeah, there'll definitely be some changes. Just watching on video, they're a little different structurally, but for the most part, I think you're still going to see a team that defends really hard. They're bigger bodies, and they try to get to the net front. They'll have good special teams, and they'll be very structured.
Well, Casey is a Cornell alum. So did it surprise you that he decided to leave Clarkson to go to Cornell?
A little bit. He had a good situation at Clarkson and was doing a nice job there. But at the same point, I know that's the Cornell job's a real appealing job, and they have a lot of really good things to offer. So I think when it became available, I wasn't surprised that he went either.
Yeah. Cornell has a pretty good freshman goalie in Alexis Cornwallier. He is 4-1 with a 1.42 goals against average and a .953 save percentage. What have you seen on video of him, and how impressed are you with him?
Yeah, really impressed. He's been very good, and he's going to be somebody that's difficult to face.
We got an early question from our listeners, Ryan Fay, regular supplier of questions here. He says, an interesting offense-defense dynamic is setting up for Friday's big game against Cornell. Union has been on a roll offensively with 18 goals over his last three games, and now the Garnet Chargers are third in the country with an average of 4 goals per game. On the other side, Cornell's defense ranks third in fewest goals allowed per game at 1.5. Excluding exhibition play, no team has scored more than 2 goals against Cornell in a game this season. Ryan would be interested in hearing what you think makes Cornell so potent defensively and what you think Union needs to do to break through that and generate an offense to win on Friday.
It's going to be difficult to get to their net, and I think they do a really good job defending that space. Obviously, the goaltender's been really good. So, for us, it's going to be driving pucks to the net. It's going to be trying to take away the goaltender's eyes. So, we always have traffic in front of the net. And then our special teams are going to have to be good. I think for us, that's been a way we've been generating. So we have to, continue to do that.
Well, then on Saturday, Union travels to Hamilton to face Colgate. The Garnet Chargers earned a shootout victory on February 7th at Class of 1965 rink. But the Raiders ruined Union's final Mesa rink regular season game with a 5-1 win on March 1st. Colgate is 4-7-1 and 2-2 for 5 points in the ECAC hockey play. The Raiders are coming off a 4-3 overtime victory over Yale last Friday and a 4-0 win against Brown on Saturday. Colgate seems to be an inconsistent team. The Raiders split a two-game series at Maine, but they got swept at home by RIT. You faced Colgate in an exhibition game last month. Colgate won that 5-3. What did you see in that game that concerns you about Colgate?
I think they're really different than Cornell. Like, as far as just how they play, like, they want to exchange chances. They'll make plays off the rush. They're very comfortable playing in transition, where Cornell is going to try to grind you down. So it's really hard to make this trip because it's two polar opposite hockey teams. So we got to make sure we take care of the puck against Colgate.
Well, we are loaded with listener questions this week. Regular contributor David Trestick says he loves the aggressive forecheck. He said we have created a lot of turnovers and mistakes with teams trying to exit their defensive zone. However, we currently have the nation's worst strength of schedule per new NPI. Will this aggressive strategy continue and still play well as we get further into conference play and face better competition, or is there a willingness to play more aggressive and potentially give up some odd man opportunities here and there?
Well, we want to attack. We want to be an attacking style hockey team. As far as what the other teams have done, in their games, like, we can't really control that. And you saw, like, UMass Lowell and New Hampshire had two of the better records we've seen this year as far as teams. So I just think we got to continue to try to push the pace against our opposition. And again, whether a team is ranked really high or they've lost other games or won other games, we just got to continue to focus on us.
Another regular contributor, Jim Calhoun, asks, what does Coach see as positives and negatives being ranked in the top 20? Does it motivate opponents to be more focused on beating them?
I'm sure we're going to get, you know, people's, you know, attention now. We don't want to be under the radar. We want to be a spot where people expect to see a really good hockey team. That's what we want. We want to take a step as a program. We want to, you know, have people be worried that they're going to have to face us. You know, I don't know if we're at that spot yet, but I think we're starting to, you know, claim attention that way. And then I think, for positives, it's really key as far as just recruiting and trying to continue to build the program, because, you know, people want to be on teams that win, and you know, right now we're doing that, so we got to keep it going.
Union Bob 1 on X, another regular contributor, asks, what does he have to do with the team to build off this past weekend, keep momentum going, important 6 points coming up?
I think just continuing to, you know, again, like we talked about, attacking the game and, you know, staying right in the moment and not getting too excited, too high or too low, just focusing on that next shift and, you know, really trying to just win that next shift, to win that next period, to win the next game.
A newcomer, Mark Brockbank, writes, good morning, Mr. Schott. You write great articles in the Daily Gazette about Union College men's ice hockey. Mark, appreciate that comment. He says, I would like you to ask Coach Halji whether their team plays non-conference games like the ones against UMass Lowell and New Hampshire any different than the games they play against ECAC hockey teams.
I don't think so. I think we, you know, try to approach every game the same. You know, we want to make team or our guys aware of, you know, what the strengths are of each, you know, each opposition, and also where we can attack them. But for the most part, we try to focus on us and playing our brand of hockey. And, you know, for the most part this season, we've been fairly consistent, but we still have, you know, a level to grow there as well.
Oh, thanks everyone for the questions. Much appreciated. That you always enjoy your participation in this. And if you have a question for Josh, you can email him to me at Schott, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com, or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky, X, and Threads at Slapshots. The Daily Gazette's ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections are back for another season. I'll post my picks usually on Wednesdays, and then you can send your picks to me. I'll post those picks before the first game, usually on Fridays. So to play, send your picks to shot@dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this weekend. We'll talk after the game. Then next week at this time, we might be actually a little earlier because you'll be in Belfast, Northern Ireland, getting ready for the Friendship Four. So we'll figure out a way to get this podcast internationally next week.
Yeah, thank you, and exciting times ahead of you.
Yeah, that's Josh Halji. Thanks again, Josh. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll talk more Union men's hockey. I'll have interviews with Nick Young, Brandon Burr, and Lucas Buzziol. The Union women's hockey team returns to action this weekend after having last weekend off. The Garner Chargers host Cornell and Colgate. I'll speak with head coach Tony Macy and defenseman Stephanie Bork and Quinn Dunkel. Gazette High School sports writer Drew Wemple talks high school football as we get set for the state quarterfinals. Gazette executive sports editor and Union football beat writer Will Springstead talks about the Dutchman's win over RPI to capture the Liberty League title, the Dutchman's shoes, and a berth in the NCAA Division III tournament. Union will face Muhlenberg on Saturday. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.